Good evening and welcome to our Watch Night service. For some, it may be your first time here, but many of you will have been here before. This evening's service has been put together by Graham and Chris, who couldn't make it tonight, but we send our Christmas wishes on. All of us have come to capture the joy that Christmas brings, to renew hope and to share the peace that breaks out this Christmas time. We have come to worship with joy the God of hope and peace who came to us as a tiny baby boy, born in a stable and laid in a manger. The Christmas story is familiar to us all, and yet it was also unexpected. So as we worship tonight, let's listen out for the God who goes beyond our expectations and changes us in ways we would never have expected. We start by singing our first Christmas carol, See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw.
Let us pray. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the familiar and comforting telling of the Christmas story, and yet you are ever ready to meet us in whatever circumstances you find us. You meet us in times of joy, and you share our celebration, and you urge us to share our joy with others. You meet us in times of trouble, and you comfort us, and you guide us on paths of peace. You meet us when we stray into sin, and you call out our wrongdoing, and you direct us to apologize and make amends. Lord God, shine the light of your love into our lives. Loving God, your compassion for your children is so overwhelming that you gladly came among us as one frail and vulnerable dependent on others. We confess that sometimes we turn our eyes from the needs of our neighbors, who for good reasons or bad are dependent on others. Father, remind us to shine the light of your love into the lives of our neighbors in this season and at all times. Lord, in your loving purposes for us all, you work through the faithfulness of humble people we would scarcely have noticed yet because they responded to your calling. Their faithfulness lives on. Father, so often we judge people by measures of power, success, wealth, or popularity. Open our eyes to see each of our neighbors as a living home for your Holy Spirit and as an essential part and beneficiary of your plan for humanity. Father God, in Jesus you kept your promise from long ago, and today you continue to keep your promise to us, succeeding generations. Father, do not let us pack away this message of hope with our Christmas decorations, but call on us to carry the joy of Christmas and hope for the nations in every day of our lives. For when we do this, we follow the path Jesus trod before us, and we honor his name. Amen. We join to sing again, this time the carol, Come and Join the Celebration.
Our first reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Hear the word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. As they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Amen.
One of the enduring truths of the Christmas story is that it is ordinary folk who recognize God's plan in Jesus, while those in power overlook it all. The shepherds on the hillside, the old folk in the temple, all declare that God is keeping his long-held promise. Yet under this story, Matthew's gospel tells another, more gritty drama, and it's one where events seem to be overtaking God's plan. The Holy Land is in the grip of the Roman Empire. Herod rules brutally, but only because the empire allows him, and this small patch of land has been fought over for centuries. It has been under the influence of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and now Rome. So when the Magi come from the east, we might miss their coming from the Parthian Empire, which is based in Persia, and has grip on power from modern-day Syria to the borders of China. So if the Parthian Empire is showing an unhealthy interest in Israel, the consequence could be catastrophic. A push westward would turn the Holy Land into a war zone. They say that in war, the first casualty is the truth. But the truth is that in war, most of casualties are those innocent people who are unable to flee from the conflict. As it happens, the visiting Magi are no threat. But Herod has prioritized self-preservation and is very much a threat. Herod has no hesitation in ordering the wiping out of children to protect his own interests. Joseph receives warning in a dream and is told to flee to Egypt. Joseph, Mary, and their precious little one do so, and so become refugees for the next few years. This is true now as it was then. Things go wrong. We plead with God for help, or we rail at God, wanting him to make the bad things go away. But more often than not, the answer comes in ways to face up to our own problems. Usually it means being humble, swallowing our pride. Often we have to change our behavior, and sometimes we need the strength to endure. But when we look at the Holy Family, we realize we are not alone in this. And if we let it, this story can open our eyes to the sparkling facet of the Christmas good news. John's Gospel sums it up, saying the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The enduring message of Christmas is that God is here. He leads and encourages, teaches and rebukes. He gives us strength to endure, but above all, he is Emmanuel, God with us. The final words of Matthew's Gospel are words spoken by Jesus as he commissions his disciples. Through times of joy, through times of trial, Jesus makes the real message of Christmas in his promise. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We'll now take a moment to watch a video of the song Because of Bethlehem by Matthew West.
Just a tiny nowhere town with a tiny no looming. This is where the greatest story ever told begins. With just a tiny beating heart had all creation leaning in. That night the world forever changed because of Bethlehem. It's where a star led to a stable, a baby's cry made angels sing, and the search to find a savior led to heaven's humble king. Where the wise men found the answer, the shepherds found the lamb, and I found my Emmanuel because of Bethlehem. Love is of Bethlehem. From a child in a cradle to a king upon a cross, he knew the road was leading him to pay a crimson cost. And when no other arms could carry the weight of all our sin, he took to a father's right hand throne, and a promise he's preparing us, a place we'll soon call home. He who came to earth from heaven is coming back again, and our eyes will see eternity because of Bethlehem. Love.
Our next carol is a mere 20 years old and perhaps not yet well known. It is called You're the Word of God the Father.
Our second reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word.
For Christians, the standout motif of the book of Isaiah is his prophecy of the Messiah. The characteristics he portrays are an astonishingly accurate description of Jesus Christ. Yet we should not have expected this at all, because Isaiah was writing this over 700 years before Jesus was born. But even then, the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, though hoping for someone to save them, were not looking for someone to fit this description. They saw the Messiah of Isaiah's prophecy as the personification of the nation of Israel. The suffering servant was not an individual, it was Israel who would suffer. It was not an individual that God would exalt. It was his holy people. Wisdom did not rest on one person. The nation becomes wise when it seeks and follows the will of God. The people of Israel were holding out for a hero, but no one was expecting the Messiah to literally be a child. Imagine you were hoping for a hero to save you from others, or maybe from your own failings. What would they be like? How would you define them? You might imagine someone who is strong in adversity, a warrior in battle, who knows right from wrong and lives by that knowledge, who is wise in perplexing situations. What you wouldn't expect was a baby, the most vulnerable member of society, to be the one who is coming to save. A baby can't give an impassioned speech, or head an army, or inspire by example. A baby is wholly reliant on the love and kindness of their parents and others to look after them, to provide for them, to support them, to teach them. Who would want or expect that kind of person to become a hero for the world? Yet that is exactly who God chose and continues to choose to this day. He chose Jesus to become a baby. Jesus understands when we feel vulnerable because he was vulnerable before us. We can turn to Jesus when we need love and protection because he depended on the love and protection of others. And although his feet are firmly planted on the ground, his gaze is fixed on eternity. This infant will go on to make the ultimate sacrifice for us, so we can become holy and blameless in God's eyes. This baby will rise again. He will ascend into heaven, and he will sit at the right hand of God, in union with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, he brings peace to those who believe in him. That is why in Isaiah's prophecy, he is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But one more unexpected thing about Christmas is that Jesus not only blesses us, but he invites us to live our lives in the likeness of Jesus, bringing joy and peace to those we meet. So this Christmas, consider being that unexpected person to someone who brings peace and joy. Be there for those who need it. Meet them where they are at and show them the love that Jesus has for them this Christmas. Because when we do this, Isaiah's prophecy becomes reality here and now. Be like Jesus. Amen. We sing again another carol, In the Bleak Midwinter.
Thank you.
moment has come, and it's my joy to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Please take a few moments to share the joy with your friends and family in the congregation.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's start this Christmas day by praying together. Ever-living and ever-loving God, we share the joy of remembering the coming of your Son and the season of goodwill. We have felt your love in the grace of our Lord Jesus and in the goodwill of our neighbours. We have experienced and shared joy in the message of Christmas. We have witnessed your Spirit breaking down the barriers that exist between God and mankind, and between people in conflict. We have seen you come to us, your created ones, through Jesus, the living Word, in reconciliation, mercy, and sacrifice. But we remember too those for whom Christmas reopens old wounds of mistrust and hurt, those who can't find joy, can't find reconciliation. Merciful God, be close to those who are hurting at this time and bring them healing. God of mercy, we remember those who are struggling to get by for a whole variety of reasons. Lord, you have always shown a bias towards the poor. So at this time of plenty for many, build a society of equals, where there is sharing to meet the needs of everyone. Boundless God, your reign goes far beyond our existence here in Newport, and you feel the pain of suffering everywhere. We pray for those in parts of the world riven by war. Tonight we remember Ukraine and the destruction that it has faced. As another winter bites, Lord, please raise up leaders who are prepared to suffer any cold responses from other warring leaders, prepared to pursue peace and establish justice in that country. We also remember the Holy Land and the terrible suffering of so many civilians in the war between Israel and Hamas. Lord God, you have given us a vision of Israel as being a haven of peace, justice, and wisdom. And yet the human lust for revenge through violence is inflicting inhuman suffering and ensuring a new generation of sworn enemies. Father God, you have shown that you work with your faithful servants to pursue justice, peace, and reconciliation, even in the darkest times. So please, raise up the leaders we need to speak out against those whose hatred and violence dehumanizes their victims. Hold to account those who wield power through terror and violence, and make a future for those whose homeland has become a war zone and through naught of their own making. Lord God, bring the blessings of Christmas, not as a fuzzy feeling, but through words of wisdom that cannot be ignored, through your authority, Almighty God, through your fatherhood over all humanity, and through the reign of peace of your Son, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In his name tonight we pray. Amen. We will draw our worship to a close and sing our final carol, Once in Royal David City.
Just very briefly before our benediction, I just want to thank everyone who's taken part tonight in the readings, the lessons, the prayers. All of that is very much appreciated. We have heard the good news of the coming of our King. We have been commanded to share the good news at all times and everywhere. So then, let us go in peace, always ready to put in a good word for the Lord. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this Christmas time and evermore.
Thank you. Thank you.